There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Another couple hours of live local talk, and we'll get into it. I talked about hour number two earlier at the end of Jeff Poore's show, but coming up, Cal Walters, of course, part of the Marine Detachment around here at FM Talk 106.5. He and Tom Claxton host Scuttlebutt Radio Network on the Veterans Show on Wednesday nights here. He's going to join me at 1 as we continue this conversation as we're talking specifically two veterans in our area, some 170,000 of y'all here, and veterans are having a tough time right now watching what's happening in Afghanistan. So we're going to talk with Cal about that. Also, Chip Brown with a story coming up tomorrow, and my friend Bryant Knight from Team Fighter Dine is going to be on Monday. Also, another veteran, Robert Kennedy Jr., is going to join us in hour two. So that's coming up, and then I got a note here from, actually got a phone call, Congressman, AL1 Congressman Jerry Carl called me and said, We had had some cases of veterans taking their lives here recently, as in the last 2 days in AL1. He wants to speak to those folks, and of course, his son did deployment in Afghanistan. And you heard his conversation with me on Monday. We're going to talk more about that with the congressman later on in the hour. But to start off with, and as I mentioned, this is exciting because I was talking about this man when we talked to Joe Jorgensen, who was the Libertarian candidate for president of the United States. And we also were referencing at that time a running mate, and that's Spike Cohen. And Spike Cohen, who's American libertarian political activist, a podcaster, it's an entrepreneur, a guy that seems to like to speak to large crowds about liberty. No, he's joining us now. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
It's great. There's a lot to talk about. We're going to do it this way. Let's get the business started here of why you're coming to Alabama. Then we'll do some other stuff. Then we'll come back to the business of why you're coming to Alabama next week. Can you explain to the folks what this is all about?
Sure. So we are doing a rally for justice in Montgomery, Alabama. And basically what's happening is the Alabama Republican Party and the Democrats to a lesser extent, but there is effectively very little of a Democrat party in Alabama. But the political establishment in Alabama, they have a voter roster that is supposed to go out with equal access to anyone who is running for office. If you are a Republican or a Democrat, you automatically get access to this voter roster to be able to campaign and be able to know who you're targeting with your messaging and so forth. But if you are not a Republican or a Democrat, if you are running as anything else, they want you to pay close to $40,000 for this list. This is if you're running for city council, if you're running for county council, you're running for any race at all, you have to pay $40,000 for this list. And of course, most campaigns don't even have a budget of $40,000.
Right.
This is obvious and a blatant double standard, and it's a violation of your First Amendment right as well. If they're giving other candidates access because they have the right party next to their name, and then they're denying it to others, then that's just a blatant violation of our rights. So that's what the rally is about. But ultimately, it's not just about that. It's about the fact that, you know, the political establishment in Alabama, we're seeing right now with this pandemic, how their policies in regulating and reducing the amount of healthcare providers that are in the state with things like certificate of need laws and other burdens of regulation, in the best of times, that led to healthcare costs continuing to spiral out of control, as we've seen across the country and in Alabama. And in times like this, it leads to people dying because of hospitals and ICUs being filled because they didn't have the capacity they needed. These are the kinds of things that libertarians would put an end to, which would save lives. And it's precisely those types of solutions that the political establishment in Alabama is trying to stop the people of Alabama and people across the country from being able to have. And that's what our rally is about.
Yeah, and I want to get into what it is to be a libertarian and in just a second. But yeah, for folks, you said it pretty clearly. But to repeat once again, if somebody has a D or an R by their name in Alabama, they get that list for free, right? No cost to their to them and their campaign. If you show up with an L by your name or any of the other letters, $40K to get that list.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like 36,000 or 37,000 or something like that. And it's not just if you're a libertarian or a Green Party or a Constitution or whatever. If you just want to run as an independent, if you are not a member of the Republican or Democrat parties, you have to spend probably as much as five or six times as much as what your budget is for even running for the office you're running for in the first place. And it just speaks to the fact that the Republican establishment, as I call it, across this country, including in Alabama, they want to rob the American people of your options of being able to decide who you want in office. If you are sick and tired of the same, you know, team blue versus team red dichotomy of, you know, you either have to vote for this lesser evil or this lesser evil. If you want to try to vote for something that isn't evil at all, they're going to straight up rob you of your option to be able to do that.
You're just joining us, talking to Spike Cohen. He'll be here next week for this event in Montgomery. And yeah, you kind of paint a picture. So many times I'll interview somebody and they'll say, you know, I'm a Republican, but I've got a strong libertarian lean. And and maybe they'll say, there wasn't that, they don't say it, but there wasn't that path there for them. It was easier for them to run as a Republican. I rarely hear that on the Democrat side, but maybe it exists.
Oh, they absolutely exist. There are definitely liberty Democrats as well. And here's the thing. I tell people this. If you are trying to, you know, make your path to liberty, and the easiest way to do that is to leverage the cheat code of running with an R or D next to your name, I'm certainly not going to give you a hard time for it. But in the meantime, I'm going to make it so that isn't a cheat code anymore. I'm going to make it so that I'm going to continue to work to grow this movement and to remove the ridiculous burdens that the R's and D's are putting on literally everyone else that wants to run for office. You know, people think that the two-party system because that's what we want, but that makes no sense. There are 330 million people in this country. Does anyone really think we only want to choose from two human beings who are often the people that helped create the problem that we're in the first place, that these are the only people we want to vote for? Of course not. It's over 100 years of increasingly burdensome ballot access restrictions that make it so that these parties have built this gravy train to enrich themselves and the cronies who put them in office and stick the rest of us with the bill for it.
Spike, tell folks, I've talked about over the years, capital L and lowercase L, what it means, you know, libertarians, what it means. But talk to me about what it means to be a libertarian, because more than any other party out there that I know of, it seems like the a la carte versus the combo meal out there, right? That there's so many variances. I hear people say, I'm a libertarian, but I believe in this and don't believe in that. And somebody else goes, well, I believe in that and not believe in this. Like, what is your elevator talk? If somebody said, libertarian, what do y'all do?
So the elevator pitch on libertarianism is that we believe that people do the best when we are most free. And we recognize that all the problems that we are facing right now, whether we're talking about this pandemic, whether we're talking about just the cost of healthcare, whether we're talking about problems with higher education, with housing, with foreign policy, I mean, we're certainly seeing that blow up in our faces, with immigration, with everything else, all of these problems are happening because we put too much power in the hands of too few people. We're letting a handful of central planners try to plan this entire society that we live in. And even if those people were the best people on earth, they couldn't possibly know better than each one of us what we need, working together voluntarily with each other to come up with solutions to the problems that we're facing. They couldn't possibly know. And of course, they're not the best people among us. That kind of power always attracts some of the most cynical and sociopathic and self-interested people on earth, which is, I mean, we all recognize that's what politicians are. So we want to dismantle that power, take all that power and that freedom and that money that has been stolen from the American people and put it back in your hands where it always belongs. And that's essentially what we believe. The reason you see so much variation between libertarians and what they believe on different subjects is because we believe that you should be able to be as conservative or progressive or moderate or whatever else you want to be. As long as we stop trying to force everyone to live the exact same way, people can be free to be who they are, harming no one else, and being able to live together in a far more prosperous and free and safe and healthy society as a result.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. That's been one of the discussions over time. If I will defend something that's a libertarian principle, somebody will say, well, then you're for that. I go, nah, right. Actually, I'm not. You come to my house, I'm not for that. We don't teach that to our kids. We're not into that. But it's not my business if somebody else does. That seems to be the tough hurdle people have. They'll say, well, yeah, but they shouldn't be doing that. You know, yeah. They should. It's not good for them. They should, and I agree with that person that whatever the thing is, it's not good. I agree it's not good for them. And then they don't understand why I don't want to use the force of government to make that person do what's good for them. Does that track with you?
It does. And here's part of the thing, Sean. Over time, people have learned that, you know, first you're told you have to accept this thing or tolerate this thing. You have to allow other people to do this thing, whatever that thing is. And then eventually you're told you are required to accept it. You are required to take it in as your own as well. And that's the problem. We aren't just letting people be free to decide who they are on all sides of these different debates. If we simply remove the weaponization that Republicans and Democrats have done on every single issue, that this either needs to be mandated or banned, if instead we could just allow people to decide for themselves, provided that they're not hurting anyone else. I mean, obviously, you know, you don't decide for yourself if you want to murder someone. You don't decide for yourself if you want to, you know, kidnap someone or rob someone. As long as you're not hurting someone else's lives or their rights or their property, if you're not damaging, you're not hurting them, you're not taking their stuff, then we should be able to be free to make those choices for ourselves. And yes, it will mean that people will make choices we disagree with. That's part of living in a free society. But as long as everyone recognizes that this isn't about trying to force something on someone else. It's just the opposite. It's about letting people be free and really only having a legal structure there to stop people from hurting each other or taking their stuff. Then we can have that becomes a much more tolerant society. Because instead of your neighbor being a political adversary who's trying to force something on you, they're just your neighbor. And if they do something you don't like, it doesn't affect you. And if they don't do something, if you do something you like, then you guys can work together on it. But that's why that culture war exists, is you have two sides trying to force things on each other. We need to dismantle that.
You know, one of the dangers of that, though, politically, I think, is that you don't have the problem fix. You do have the problem fix defending liberty, right? But that's such a, either people take it for granted or never have realized it. I want to get to that in a little bit, or don't sure. Think about that. You know, when you go, yeah, here's this party over here that's going to say, I've got this proposal, we're going to enact this legislation to fix this thing for you, and the other one, we're going to fix this other thing. And then you come at it saying, well, we're going to remove laws to fix it. I think it's harder to say, like, here's that thing we're going to do that people catch on to, because you don't. I mean, libertarians aren't going to enact a bunch of laws.
Well, in the moment, we can't. But this is actually what I talked to the Liberty Movement about. And I think part of the reason the ballot access laws and things like that have certainly been in our way. But another thing that's been in our way is that we focus more on the political aspect and the cultural aspect. We forget that culture is downstream, that the politics is downstream of culture.
Yeah.
The other thing that we forget is that we often are focusing on people running for president and Congress and Senate when right now, thanks to largely because of ballot access restrictions, that's very difficult for us to do. We haven't won one yet, but we win hundreds of city council races and county council races across the country. And we have many more libertarian activists that are successfully getting legislative goals accomplished across the country at the city and state level. So what I say is, if we focus on that, if we can actually work to remove bad laws and to reform laws so that they go from being bad to good, and put in laws that hold people in government accountable when they hurt, you know, the public. When we do these types of things, you know, we remove cronyism, we lower taxes, lower regulations so people can be freer and live better lives, then we're able to demonstrate, no, this is how libertarianism works. It's not a pipe dream. It's not some theory. It actually works. It's working in your cities. It's working in your counties. And we can show that. And we're already doing that. But we need, you know, my whole goal is for us to ramp that up and for that to become our main focus. Yes, we still have to run for the White House and governor and Congress and stuff like that. If for no other reason than some states actually require you to do that to be able to have other people running on the ballot with that ticket. But our focus needs to be on where we're already winning, and that's at the local and regional level.
All right, we're coming right back. More with Spike Cohen, and when we come back, I'm going to toss a couple of the big stories of today to Spike and let him give us the what the libertarian answer to that would be, things we're talking about every day, and go through his filter. We do that when we return on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, y'all don't worry that during the news break, I'm already pressing Spike Cohen to come back on with us again very soon. American libertarian political activist. We talked about him last year when we were interviewing the presidential candidate, Joe Jorgensen, for the Libertarian Party. We continue here, and then we'll wrap up with why he's coming to the state next week. But, Spike, let me do this. Let's run a couple big stories out there through your libertarian brain. Can we do that?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk the pandemic, shutdowns, mask, and vaccine passports.
Absolutely. So first, looking at this pandemic, we have to look at why the pandemic was so bad in what is supposed to be, you know, the country with the best healthcare on the planet. Why that happened? First of all, for nearly 2 months that the virus was first here, the CDC and the FDA banned COVID testing. I remember back in February when I got very sick and I went to a doctor and said, I wonder if I have this coronavirus thing. And I tested negative for the flu. And I said, do you think I have coronavirus? And she said, there's no way of knowing. No testing is allowed. In fact, the few cases we knew of in February and in late January were by people that had illegally tested for COVID. We had American companies that were making COVID-19 test kits by the millions and having to sell them overseas because they weren't allowed to be used here. That's what allowed the virus to spread out of control. And at the same time, as they did start to allow testing at the state level, you had state governments that were forcing COVID patients into nursing homes and disability centers, the places where the people are the most likely to die of COVID. And so we went from, oh, I don't even know if COVID's here, to we have tens or hundreds of thousands of cases across the country, and close to one out of every 10 people is dying from it. That created fear, which allowed the state governments to harness that fear and to exploit that fear by pushing for these ridiculous lockdowns, which anyone with common sense could have told you was not going to do anything to slow or stop the spread of COVID long term, and is only going to cause immeasurable harm to the lives and livelihoods of every single person in those states, which is what it did. The mandates, and then at the same time, you know, they're destroying people's lives. They're telling them, you know, you can't open your small business because it's unsafe, but everyone can go to Costco and Walmart and Target mm-hmm. and all the big businesses. They can stay open. All the other, you know, everyone's lives are being destroyed. They're you know, being given a few hundred bucks to live every few months while we watch trillions of dollars being carved out and handed to, you know, crony corporations and big government agencies across the country. This was a massive act of theft. And it started with creating the conditions for this crisis to be as bad as possible so that people would be afraid, so that they could use that to push for draconian measures that were never going to work, and to defy the people and to politicize everything from masks to staying 6 feet away from each other. This is what government does. They make a crisis, or they make a crisis worse. They leverage that fear to push for more power, more control, and more money. When that fails and actually makes it even worse, they leverage that fear to push for even more, and they blame us for not being vigilant enough in following their rules that they change every other day. And they just rinse and repeat. More power, more money, more failure, more fear, more leveraging that power, and it has to stop. It's not going to stop with Republicans and Democrats. It's only going to stop by dismantling their gravy train and putting the power back in your hands.
All right, we've got 1 minute here. So we just the quick take on the situation with the removal of the United States from Afghanistan. And then right at the end there, tell them why you're coming to Alabama on Tuesday.
Joe Biden should have kept with Donald Trump's May timeline for pulling out. And he should have immediately started fast-tracking non-essential personnel and our allies there, like the interpreters and their families. We never should have been in Afghanistan in the first place. The Taliban wanted to hand over bin Laden, and Bush wanted a war. This war only makes sense if you look through it through the prism of how does this benefit central bankers and the military-industrial complex. It was never about making the American people safe, and it was never about getting bin Laden. It was about making money for the cronies, as always, like everything else. This rally for justice is going to be in Montgomery, Alabama. We are going to be talking about actual solutions to the problems that have been created by Republicans and Democrats in Alabama and across the country. And we hope that you join us. And Sean, thanks for having me on there. I really appreciate it.
Nicely done. And if somebody has, like, what are those two guys talking about? Libertarianism. What would you send them to? What website is the best one, in your opinion, other than SpikeCohen.com, I imagine?
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want to follow me, go to Spike Cohen. I mean, I'm the absolute pinnacle of libertarianism, right. Obviously. No, if you want to find out more about libertarian solutions, the website for the Libertarian Party is lp.org. If you want to follow my social media, I'm Spike Cohen. I'm everywhere. I'm on Facebook. I'm on YouTube. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I'm on TikTok for the kids. And if you want to go to my website is SpikeCohen.com. It shows all my upcoming events, my most recent media appearances, and everything else. And again, man, I really appreciate you having me on. I look forward to coming on again.
Absolutely. Great work, Spike, and we will talk again soon, maybe as early as next week when he's here in Alabama. There he is. Libertarian activist, was the vice presidential candidate last year, for last cycle for the Libertarian Party. And I have a feeling if he'll do it, he'll be a guest with us fairly regularly here on Midday Mobile. All right, coming right back, AL1's Congressman Jerry Curl joins us.